Good evening, everyone. Today is Wednesday, September 3rd, 2020 time. The time is approximately 5:05. We'll now call to order this special meeting of the South Miami City Commission to discuss our, have our first budget hearing. I'd ask everyone to sense if you could please silence or turn off your phones. Madam Clerk, if you can call the roll, please.
Yes, Mayor Fernandez.
Present.
Commissioner Rodriguez.
Here.
Commissioner Bonich.
Here.
Commissioner Calle.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. I'd ask everyone to stand for a brief prayer. And this evening, I'd ask us to pray for the victims of the recent violence at Annunciation Catholic Church in Minneapolis, as well as for peace in the Middle East. I'll read the following prayer. Loving and merciful God, we lift you up to those who have been harmed by violence and violence in any form. Bring comfort and healing to their wounds of body, soul, and spirit. Soothe their restless hearts with hope and to steady their shaken spirits with faith. Amen. Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Madam Clerk, could you please read item one in the record?
Yes, item one, an ordinance of the City Commission of the City of South Miami, Florida, adopting a proposed millage rate for the fiscal year commencing October 1, 2025 through September 30, 2026, fiscal year 2025-2026, which amount may be amended the first or second reading and adopting the final millage rate on second reading.
Thank you. If you could also read item two, please.
Item two, an ordinance of the City Commission of the City of South Miami, Florida, adopting a tentative budget for the city for fiscal year commencing October 1, 2025 and ending September 30, 2026. Fiscal year 2025-2026, and which budget may be amended the first or second reading of this ordinance, adopting the final budget on second reading, providing for the salaries and expenses of the City Commission and officers as required by the City Charter, establishing city departments, their duties, and functions.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Mr. Manager, you have a presentation to start?
Yes, Mayor. Our CFO is going to take us through a deck and slide. As you know, we had our budget workshop on July 29th, where we presented a preliminary budget. Since then, given some more direction from this commission and updating with new information that we may have as it relates to certain costs of certain things, and certainly taking a second look at operational concerns or issues or needs, trying to balance with our capital program, we've made some adjustments to what was before you on July 29th. And we certainly want to highlight what those are and support it with some other information that we added through this process to bring your a budget for your consideration. And we'll present those changes through this presentation, and our CFO will take us through it. Certainly happy to answer any questions as we go through it.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Mr. Riverall, good evening. You're recognized.
Good evening, Mayor. Oh. No, vice mayor.
Good evening, Mayor, Vice Mayor, Commission. It's nice to be here. Thank you. I'm going to take, there's 27 slides. I'm going to go through them pretty fast. You can stop me at any time and any questions. A lot of this information we've already gone through. Some of the changes I'll be speaking of are changes that have occurred after the workshop that we had on July 29th. So I'm just kind of briefing and providing some details or insight to some of the information.
Mr. Rowe, before you begin, does one of the slides include a discussion of the percentage increase in the millage rate over the rollback?
No, we do not speak on that. We have that part of the discussion for after.
Okay, thank you.
So just to give you an insight into the budget that you're looking and for the public to understand, our strategic focus, employer of choice, greatest asset that the City of South Miami has is the employees. That's our greatest cost and something that we invest in heavily to make sure that we provide a product, obviously, that not only meets but exceeds the expectations of the commission and the residents. Critical infrastructure, as you're aware, we have some infrastructure needs, parks facilities and programming, and maintaining the best practices in reserves. We'll talk about the emergency reserve briefly. So those are our focuses. Compensation in this budget, 3.6 cost of living increase. That is consistent with the CPI, which is what we use in preparing what our cost of living is each year. We implemented it. We did the study of the Evergreen that everybody's well familiar with. We did this over a two-year cycle. This was our last. And we've implemented the final year this year into this budget book, which was approximately about $4,800 in additional expense. No pay plan for 2014. Now we have, and we implemented Evergreen's primary recommendation in the report, and where we have a pay scale of midpoint, minimum, maximum in our pay scale. Makes us competitive with other agencies. 3.95 is the millage, same exact millage that was adopted for fiscal year 25. This budget is prepared using that same millage. We did not change the millage. We did not increase it. Our taxable assessed value, as you're aware, has gone up 9.7% from last year. We have maintained our 25%, which is GFOA practice of maintaining an emergency reserve. The idea is having 12.5 for financial instabilities that may arise, or 12.5% for any natural disaster or event that we weren't expecting. So 25% in aggregate. Investment in unassigned fund balance. We're reducing the fund balance, unrestricted, unreserved fund balance, and I'll show you that. In doing that, we're investing it in for some of those strategic goals that we have in place. I provide this chart so you can see we like to compare ourselves to other entities or governments in Miami-Dade County. That provides what they advertise on their trim notice to their residents. As you can see, we're 3.95 of the older cities, which you see, it's all by folios, starting with Miami Beach, the oldest city in the county. Moving down, we're 3.95. Considering their millages were pretty low for being one of the older cities. And as you go down, as you can see, as you go down, you'll see the newer cities like Aventura, Sunny Isles, and what their millages are. Property tax information. This is a breakdown of the type of property types we have in the city. This is provided by Miami-Dade County Property Appraiser's Office. Not much of a change. Our single family home count is relatively unchanged. All of our property types have pretty much maintained our assessed value. Our increases are consistent with previous year's assessed values in percentage wise. This is a breakdown of your general fund revenues. The takeaway here, property taxes, it's about 39.7% of all revenues, general fund revenues. The second largest is charges for services, which embedded in here is our parking program, the city's parking program, which is a very robust and fantastic asset for the city. General fund revenue, again, this is just a breakdown by numbers. Again, property taxes, $11 million is our, $11.7 million is our property taxes, followed by our charges for services, which is again, parking, $5.5 million. And that's a makeup of the different classifications of our revenue and how we're made and how we pay for operating expenses. One of the things that you'll find in this budget is an increase in the hourly or recommended increase in hourly parking rate from $3 to $3.25. This is a comparison of the entities that have parking infrastructures. One program that's not here that somebody did mention and I thought it should be and we will add it in the future is the City of Doral, which is they just implemented and received a parking program maybe a year ago, of which per hour is $2.50 in Doral. Their program is just getting off the ground and moving forward. But in comparison with City of Coral Gables, City of Miami, Town of Surfside, you can see that 3.25 is still under the majority of the municipalities. Parking hours, just I like to remind everyone, we're out there. We have four officers, full-time, part-time. I think people know that. At least I've heard.
Oh, they're aware.
Yeah. Our parking increase, so 325, it's consistent with our cost, which have been going up, and I'll talk a little bit about that. Just so you could see, the increase from $3 to $3.25 is 8% roughly. Our increase in expense is about 8%. A couple things to talk about in the changes to the parking infrastructures or the parking program.
Sir, I think we have a question for Commissioner Kaye. You recognize, sir.
Thank you, Mayor. You just said that we had the expenses increase 8% year over year?
No, 8%.
8%.
That's what I said, 8%?
Oh, yeah, sorry. 8%. That's what from expenses? From last year to this year.
And what were those expenses?
Can you go back a slide, please?
Did you go back real quick?
This is a detail of what was adopted in 2025. You'll see the expenses there. And I'm going to talk about the expenses that are being proposed in 2026. So one of the major increases is you see park loyalty fees for handhelds. That's our parking enforcement. One of the changes that the clerk of courts, when he was elected, he implemented, he allowed jurisdictions to procure their own enforcement platform and handhelds. But in allowing us to do that, he said, but you take on 100% of the cost. We never used to have that cost before. Municipalities, as part of the charge, they take 33% of the fines that we issue, and they use that to cover court costs and computer and handheld fees, of which has changed. They've now passed that expense on to all the local jurisdictions. They did that as of November.
And the percentage stayed the same?
The percentage stayed the same, 100%. So the county did not reduce their percentage. Yeah, we tried.
Just want to make sure it's there.
Yeah, but that's one of the newest expenses that we have that is something that obviously we have to carry.
Yes, you recognize, sir.
Can you go back one slide, please?
Yep, of course.
It's very polite of you the way you asked.
So enforcement hours, that's why I wanted to go back.
I'm liking this. Go ahead.
So enforcement hours, should it be 9 to 10 p.m.?
Well, no? We also have, we don't implement expired meter, but we're doing life and safety. People that's blocking roads, sidewalks, parking in the wrong direction, fire hydrants. Those enforcements, we're still out there and making sure that, all the people are abiding by the rules.
It's just not expired meter or not paying for parking.
Correct. Right. We stop at 10 o'clock as required.
All right.
So our implementation, 7 days a week, we do not enforce expired meter after 10 p.m.,
okay,
no matter what day it is.
Okay. Thank you.
So, again, the increased cost of LAS Parking is our parking enforcement provider, or our parking in all essence from maintenance. They do a lot of maintenance enforcement. They used to do collections is, we don't collect any coins anymore. But that contract goes up 3% each year to help pay for the cost of living of their officers and stuff. So that summarizes that. As far as operations, we have acquired the parking garage. Luckily we have a fantastic parking garage that was built in 2005. And that garage, it's structurally getting old, so we've done a conditional assessment or a condition assessment. We did that with Kimberly Horn a few years ago, of which it provided certain structural deficiencies or things that just need to be updated and make sure we maintain this asset. Some of those we've already implemented. One is before you tonight, which is to do a full waterproofing. It's an item for your consideration. That is the largest expense that we've had in the last 3 years, which you'll see it tonight, $468,000 if you approve it. But we've had about $1 million of structural improvements over 3 years.
I believe I have a question from Commissioner Kaye. Sir, you're recognized.
I just want to make sure, I think in our conversations as well, over the last 5 to 10 years, we really haven't had that many costs as well. Is that accurate?
That's correct.
Okay, just want to make sure that.
Yeah, clear. Before the condition, that was the first condition assessment that I was ever familiar with. It was the first one we ever did. And the reason it was recommended by our public works at that time, because the asset's getting older and we needed to maintain a safe structure.
Commissioner Rodriguez has a question. You recognize her.
So on these, for the parking garage, am I wrong that don't we have to replace one of the elevators and repair another one?
I know that we're doing a modernization.
I know.
But I would have him.
Mr. Munoz, you have a question for us?
I can answer that quickly. Yeah. We already fixed the west elevator, and we're in the process of fixing the east elevator, and then we're going to see how those work before we do a full refurbishment, which was pretty expensive.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So so those are the expenses that to date that we were able to provide, so you could just get an idea and a sense of maintaining this asset that's in the middle of the town center or SOMI district. That will be serving a lot more parking customers in the near future.
Wait, sorry.
Hold on a second, please. Right. I have Commissioner Bonich with a question.
I see that 4/2/2024 construction to Western, waterproofing company. It was waterproofing, so we waterproofed last year and we're waterproofing this year, what's the difference? Why twice?
Yeah. Great question.
Mr. Muniz, floor is yours.
Yes, two different areas of the garage. The entire structure wasn't done. And what precipitated the item that you're gonna see later was an emergency of leaking and repairs that had to happen, both structural and leaking, but different areas of the garage.
So after we pay for this almost $500,000, the $700,000 project will waterproof everybody, every floor?
Yes, that'll be the waterproofing. And by the way, Commissioner, the project was purposely done in phases. So this is phase two, the intended phase two
of the project. Okay, the end, right?
There may be a phase three, we'll see.
Good Lord.
Hey, Commissioner Rodriguez, you had a question?
I was just gonna say, I guess the repairs that we did for those elevators should probably be included. That way you get a full synopsis of what improvements have been done.
Those are separate line items that we're doing this year.
Okay.
In the this fiscal year, not going into next year.
But
I guess the comment is yes, it should be included on this list. So we have a full counting of what we've invested in the garage.
Yeah,
correct.
Since we acquired it in 22.
What one of them is a $29,000 one. I remember. I don't remember the how much the other one was, but
yeah, just to have a full accounting of exactly what we've done.
Yes.
And just.
It's about 60, from what he just mentioned, $60,000 in total.
And
I'll add it onto this for next year, I guess.
And Mr. Riverall, if you can humor me, what's the gross revenue we've received from the garage over the same period of time? Ballpark.
We're anticipating this fiscal year?
No. Just through this fiscal year. Sorry, thank you.
This fiscal year, we're anticipating ending the fiscal year around 430, 440.
Gross revenue. Okay.
That's what we're anticipating this year for the garage.
Okay.
Last year we ended at 404, I believe. Okay. I'm going by memory here.
Yeah, that's fine.
404 last year, fiscal year 24. This year we anticipate, which obviously hasn't closed and won't close until the end of this month, but we're anticipating somewhere between 440, 445.
Okay.
For this year.
It's a good number.
And if I can ask, what's our net? Exclusive of these investments?
Well,
just on the operating.
Coincidentally, I'll give you the net. The revenue on this is a full $4.7 million when you take into account franchise meter paid.
No, outside of the meters, just the garage. Just the garage.
The garage.
It's net negative, I'm assuming.
No, it's not negative. Because see,
the garage,
we maintain it ourselves with the existing contract we have with LAS. We don't pay an extra contract fee. So the only thing that you're seeing is the capital expenditures and the 440 of revenue.
Okay, so basically over 3 years, about just round number, 1.2 million in revenues since we acquired it, and $1 million in expenses. No, that's actually healthier than I thought it would be.
We've increased significantly on our revenue. Our revenue when we first purchased
it was 250. Yeah.
Correct. Yes, and now we've continuing to get people used to it. Advertising, our marketing team does a fantastic job.
Just thinking 23, 24 fiscal, 25 fiscal. Just put a number on about 1.2 million and about $1 million reinvested back in the garage. So it's actually been a little bit better than break even.
Well, can I add to that?
Yes, you may.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Well, that's why I was asking for the 10-year plan. Like, we haven't had any expenses over the last 10 years, capital expenses. So you can't do over the last 3 years. Yes, it's when you bought it. But there's a warranty cost that you need to associate with that number. That's why I was asking to have all the expenses as well, so we have a true understanding operating wise of what the garage is.
Yeah, no, Commissioner, we can argue that all day. I mean, I think the original deal was, you know, terrible because operator kept.
We all agree with that.
Yeah, so I don't even want to look historically at what was not invested, because it was deferred capital that was assigned to us, even though we got none of the revenue, from what I understand of the deal, recall the deal.
That's correct.
So I was just 100%. Trying to figure out from the moment we acquired it, it's actually performing better than I thought it would. So kudos. I'm trying to give you a compliment.
I appreciate that. It's hard to say, but I can see it.
I'm trying to give you the compliment. I'm trying to give you a compliment.
Hey, take it and go.
Come on. There you go.
So
okay, let's move on.
So
he doesn't. It's all right. I like the Donnie Thomas over there. It's good.
So this just gives you an idea of the expenditures. Police, by far our largest expense. As it is in any entity or jurisdiction that has a police force, especially to the level of service we provide. Public works, parks and recreation, a good chunk of our expenses, which directly impacts and affects residents and community. Those are our three largest. That's what I want you to get from this pie chart. Key organizational staffing comments. When we came before you in, on the workshop, we were talking about certain positions. I'm going to recap. All those positions still remain in here, going full-time on the SOMI district ambassador, which is part-time currently, moving to full-time. Events leader for parks to help Nicole and her special events. What one change that we were talking at the workshop about two rec leaders. We're going with one rec leader and going into it in the next stage, which probably next year you'll see an additional rec leader to be added for all the facilities that we're improving. Law enforcement officer to help offset the background checks and stuff that is something that has become a huge part of us that we're providing to the community. One change, we had it in the budget as a contractual services. We've reallocated an expense which had no difference as far as financial monetary, but we do have two individuals that used to be funded by AARP that we kept on to help the senior center in providing the service, the level of service that they expect and we hope to provide. So that highlights that.
Mr. Rowe, if you can hold, I think we have a question from...
No, I didn't have a question. I just had a comment. And I think one of the directions that I gave there, since we did lose that money from AARP, is how do we see if we can get maybe a grant or figure out another way to kind of get some compensation back to help out in the future.
We're definitely going to be focusing on trying to get that and subsidize that expense. But at this point, we're just going to hope to, while we do that.
All right, I understand.
As everybody know, we had a strategic plan just recently, and we talked about where we want to see ourselves. We had a goal. That's those other things that we're trying to address. Labor negotiations. We're still in labor negotiations with ASME. Thankfully, we've successfully negotiated FOP, the PBA and FOP agreements. CIP, just to talk about a few items that have changed or that really haven't changed per se, we're still committed to those capital improvements. But what we've done is, as we get further in time, we can see where we are in the process of some. We've reallocated some of the projects that we had skewed this year to next fiscal year. So you could see the bottom line is here, a reduction in 2025 of 3.7. But if you see, we have pretty much an increase in next year of almost the same. And that is because we've shifted some of the projects because we have to meet the deadline of September 30th. And if we don't have it encumbered by then, we lose the funds. So what we did is we reappropriated it for 26 to make sure that we do those projects. The only real addition to this list that I'll share is a shade structure, is a new project that was not discussed at the previous CIP or previous budget workshop, which is 65 to put a shade structure at Robert Welsh Park so that the playground equipment stays cool for the kids and the parents. So that's really the only addition.
And Mr. River, I'll just add for the benefit of the board. I've asked the manager if we can also do the same at for the swings on the west side of South Miami Park. Because I've gotten a couple calls from parents that are using it pretty frequently in the middle of the day and complaining about the heat of the swings specifically since they're not under any sort of tree canopy. Yes, ma'am. You can.
I have two kids. I can appreciate the heat of the swing set, the heat of everything else. How many other playgrounds are all covered up so nobody gets hot? I mean, I think we have to gauge, first of all, where, how quickly, you know, that kind of thing. $65,000, again, I grew up burning my legs off, you know, as did probably everybody else here. But when I look at $65,000 just for one park, and I think that we're missing a rec leader because we can't cover it. I think if we're gonna do this, there needs to be a long range plan, not a short range plan, because that's a lot of money.
Yeah, no, it is. And again, just uninformed Google search for the structures. You know, online it shows them like a $10,000 or $12,000. So I'm not sure what the labor is associated with in the installation of these things, but it seems like a very To me, it's not the improvement. It's really the cost that we're paying for it, which is the questionable part.
Yeah.
I think the improvement's a reasonable one. I think that I would just say in response to your comment, I agree. We all used to suffer on the metal swings before. But I think the trend is to put shade canopies because it's gotten hotter over a lot of these structures. And at South Miami, I'm not talking about the entire play surface because if you look at the east side, I think, of that play surface, there's quite a bit of tree canopy for the other apparatus. It's just a swing that's on the west side. Yeah, it may, you know, it may over time resolve itself. But in the intro, I thought it would be something worth doing. Anyhow.
Moving on from that, budget highlights. So just talk about some of the parks, as a matter of fact, some revisions. Dante Fasel building is in the budget for 3.8, not to be in, funded through debt service. There are two projects still at Dante Fasel that we have relocated to 2027. The idea is doing those projects after the completion or closely thereafter the completion of the actual building, which is hopefully will begin in fiscal year 26, it provides for better construction management. So we figured we would have more time to budget for those improvements in fiscal year 27. And then the parking lot improvements as well, we have it funded in this fiscal year for $1.2 million in the CIP, not with debt service. With that, there are three projects that were reallocated, still funded, but reallocated to debt service, and those projects are Broad Canal, which we just yesterday seeked a grant for half that, but we won't know if we receive those monies until later this calendar year. Manor Lane, which is estimated at 1.06, and then the bridge, which is estimated at 3.3 million. Those are skewed to be completed this or fiscal year 26 using debt service, something that is important that you know.
Alfredo, just clarification, the Manor Lane one, that's the balance that would be left after the $900,000 from the state. So it was 1.9. So accounting for the 900, this would be the balance. So we would finance the balance.
Don, can you go back to, sorry.
Yes.
Mayor?
Yes, sir. You're recognized.
Dante Fasel, if you can go back, we had estimated at 3.8 million. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And that's in the fiscal year?
Fiscal year 26.
So this is what we're talking about?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Yes, you're recognized, Mr. Vice Mayor.
Regarding the debt service, I just thought it'd be helpful as well for the public to know the debt that's coming off the books and then how this would impact our overall financial picture.
So we have two debts that are current. We've had them for a number of years now. One debt, which is our SunTrust, the only taxable loan or refinance that we completed, terminates on October 1st of 2026. So it comes off the book in technically fiscal year 27. Then what remains is the Chase, which is, I don't have a slide on it, but that will remain until 2032, October 1st of 2032, if I'm remembering. The idea behind the debt that we're proposing for these infrastructure is that the first payment would be at the time at the retirement of the other debt, so that it would almost have no cash consequence. You would still have a debt. That's how we would potentially structure, and I say potentially because when you're issuing debt at that time, it'll sometimes the market dictates which way you go, line of credit. There's multiple different ways that we can do this. Nonetheless, the idea right now, if you're going to stretch it on a fixed 15-year, it would almost be equal to what the difference would be between the retired debt and maintaining the existing debt with Chase. So that gives you, I hope that answers that question.
Yeah, and Mr. Vice Mayor, my conversations with the manager and CFO on this issue is, I mean, these assets should be on very long paper, right, given that there are bridges that have a very long useful life. Hopefully we could roll this into a larger debt issuance, and if we want to fund this in the near term, having something that we can aid a debt instrument that we can get out of with no penalty and roll it into, you know, a larger bond issuance, which hopefully we'll talk about next fiscal year when we, I think, we'll have substantially more capacity given the kind of debt, the expense and income profile that we're kind of on. I think next year we'll be able to reduce the operating millage substantially, and if we want to capture that savings and put it towards actual capital investment. So, yes, sir.
Well, I mean, talking about the debt opportunity here, my only concern is that we only have this as the three proposed things at 4.8 million. I'm not really, I don't remember what the actual debt obligation is currently on a yearly basis. And I'm sure whatever it is will cover the $5 million. That's accurate, right?
That's what, yeah, that's what he just said.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But it'll be more than, I mean, okay. My point is, we have these culverts and these bridges that are infrastructures that are high need. And We have an opportunity. We also have another expense, CIP project with the park at Dante Fussell at $3.8 million. I don't foresee us really moving forward with Dante Fussell with the current issues that we're having from a construction basis, from a land basis, a legal basis. Why wouldn't we want to use the $3.8 million allocated to complete these projects? I understand the debt, how great the debt would be in this opportunity, but if we don't need to, this is an opportunity to kind of like, let's go focus on what we want to do with the debt, that we can kind of switch the numbers around where we get these done quickly, and then next year when we're all set and shovel ready for the park, we can do that. That's my discussion point that I wanted to bring up for you guys.
I think that's a question of the manager, so.
I think partly it becomes more of a policy issue from our standpoint. We are trying to move the project from a permitting and then final design to be shovel ready. So we would be able to move forward this fiscal year. If because competing interests and maybe a desire to borrow less and those dynamics come in, defer the project. I don't. It's not going to hurt anything per se. Obviously, I mean, I do think that building in its current condition is obsolete and not look great, and I think we all share that. But we'll be ready to go. So from the standpoint, if that's an input that you consider, then we'd be ready to go. Notwithstanding the ability to borrow less, if I think I heard Commissioner right, you're saying use that $3.8 million and reduce to $4.8 by that. Now you got $1 million left. Borrow on the $1 million unless we do something else.
No, I wouldn't borrow the $1 million, right?
Okay. Well, we would have to do something else because then we're really tight, right? At that point, we don't have the ability unless we defer something else.
I mean, if you would ask me, then I would say that the $1 million we can do from South Miami Park as well. This is not a need in my opinion. Yeah. This is more I would like to have, and that's one I would probably propose so we can be 4.8 equivalent.
Yeah,
apples to apples.
No, that's why I say unless you defer something else, right? Then you find that money somewhere else. So, both of those, South Miami parking, the parking lot, and lighting, South Miami Park, and Dante Fussell, we anticipate that both will be ready to move forward in this fiscal year. From that standpoint, they're ready to move forward, right? No different than the infrastructure that we feel we will. Well, A, it's a necessity, and we will be ready to move forward in this next fiscal year.
Well, there was two caveats there, right? So in the Dante Fussell building, the one caveat is that we proceed with a linear through our park for the fire drain plumbing, correct?
Fire access, yeah.
Fire access. Sorry, it's the fire access. Mm-hmm. The other opportunity is what we have currently on the 7 o'clock meeting, our commission meeting, is to go through the school. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Okay. So if we choose one or the other, that could affect one opportunity versus another. That's fair to say, correct?
I don't know that would affect, it may delay something depending on what we decide, but it'd still be within this fiscal year, next fiscal year that we're proposing that we'd be ready. That would be resolved.
That's a legal thing, right?
So assuming we wanted to exercise the option that we're going to authorize the city attorney to explore, and you were to take a quick take option, which is you take possession of the easement right away, you can begin to use it. The only thing that's left for the jury to decide is the compensatory value of the property interest is being taken. So we would have access to it immediately. It's just a matter of what the jury is going to determine it costs us.
Okay.
That would be, I think, what we would decide to do if we were to do that. I will tell you, I had, for the benefit of the board and the public, had a conversation with the owner today. We're going to try and sit down at the beginning of next week and see if we can get back to a negotiated solution as opposed to having to go this route at all. So my intention on tonight's item is to defer it when we get to the 7 o'clock meeting for that reason.
So therefore, Mr. Mayor,
yes.
Commissioner, I was saying that both options, both access options would still allow us to activate this project in fiscal year 26 and be shovel ready and ready to go, right? So if that is the desire, we'd be ready to do that. If from a policy standpoint, the prioritization is changed, then obviously, yes, we can move some monies around.
From the perspective of borrowing for these particular projects, of the three projects, the two culverts and the bridge, if we do a borrowing mechanism, what is there any delays, whether it's a bond, a general obligation bond, how long will that take to actually convert so we can actually go pay for these things to get done? Is that something that will also be in fiscal year 26?
It would. You know, the question of which path would take whatever time. they're different, right? The GO is different than just, you know, a more traditional borrowing. So
I don't think we'd be in a position to go to a GO option until fiscal year 27, my personal opinion.
Well, that
so
was my point.
I think, hence my conversation with our CFO and the manager, which is we're probably looking at short-term or some, you know, some bridge instrument. And the question is to make sure that we get terms that are the longest terms possible, given the useful life of the asset at the lowest interest rate and the ability to exit it and kind of roll that up into a larger bond issuance when we have that opportunity in the following fiscal year. So that, again, my suggested approach, but we'll see what the options are when we get there.
In the last, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, manager. No, because I'm going to change.
No, so the other point for consideration, you know, to me from an input standpoint is, you know, is there any other dynamic that would put us, you know, that would be from a disadvantage standpoint, right, and delaying something. So if we have permits at hand, you know, well, I'm sure those permits would be good for whatever time that we would delay the project for. The other aspect is, you know, what crystal ball, what happens to costs, right? I mean, we've talked about Dante Fussell building and its costs. We know what it would be in the near term if we bid it out. If we wait, what's going to happen in the economy, right? Does inflation stay steady? Does it cool off? Does it increase? So those are other inputs that we, you know, ought to consider. Ultimately, I mean, I'm not going to say that the building has to be done in this fiscal year because we have a safety issue necessarily. I mean, I don't like the condition of the building and the employees working there, and it's really less than optimal. The other day we had a summer camp, and you had, like, you know, 10 kids in there, you know, trying to have some recess, if you will, from the heat, and it just speaks to it. I think we all want that to look different, but if you compare it to, you know, culverts and bridges, yeah, obviously it's at a different level of conversation. I think this approach demonstrates that we have the ability to carry both, but if there's a different prioritization, then obviously we would juggle the numbers to meet that prioritization.
And
I recognize, sir, it's fine.
Well, the last thing I really wanted to talk about was the aspect of the bridge, colleague. So, you guys have heard me harp on the repair versus new versus the different options, right? So I still stand by, if we have the opportunity, all right, let me take a step back. The plan ready, and you know, I'll ask our director just for support on this one, but if we do the repair as is, the cost increases to $4.4 million, right? Now, I don't think that's on here, but that's the conversations I had. There's a new opportunity that we can lift up everything and kind of redo it for 3.3, which is what the option is, what we're seeing here. If we're going to go do something new.
When you say lift up, you're talking about taking the road deck off?
The road off,
yes. Yeah. Okay.
The road off.
Okay.
If that opportunity is there that we have to go redesign it anyway, I still stand by my comment that if we're going to go do that and look in future at parks and recs and doing waterways, that we look at a structure, bridge structure, that will suffice our future vision of the city, specifically with parks and the waterways. So just want to make sure you guys understand that's where my mindset is.
Appreciate the comment. I don't know what about the current. So my understanding that either option, Mr. Munoz, if you can come forward. What we have permitted today does not consider the deck removal, the tabletop removal, or are both options?
Correct. The option that was designed did not have the removal.
Okay.
The revised proposal, which is exactly what you said, Commissioner Calle, with the lower price, does contemplate that.
Okay.
And also the manager, when we come back or before we come back, the manager has directed us also to get you the price of a completely new bridge and timeline that goes with that as well, just to have that as an option to compare the three options.
Okay. With respect, if I can just finish on the, you know, I'm going to get to my colleague really quickly. I think one of the commissioner's concerns is the ability for, under any option, to use the waterway for recreation, correct?
An option, yes.
Okay, and so do any of the current options impede one's ability to traverse underneath the bridge in a kayak or so?
It depends how short you were.
Well, that's...
Yes. None of the options proposed would affect the waterway. It could still be used. The only option that would be a culvert, which we're not looking at.
Okay, and under both bridge scenarios, repair of the existing condition versus removing the deck to be permitted or revised, what's the minimum clearance that we would have for someone to kind of get under the bridge envelope? 3, 5 feet? What do we?
Don't have the answer.
No idea.
We can get it, but we don't have it right now. Yeah.
Okay.
Mayor, the only thing I wanted to, because there was a point I think Commissioner was alluding to, is this. There's been a lot of work with the contractor that's being discussed along with our consultants and along with the EXP. So it'll come back before you. There is an element to your point that I think I want to make sure we don't lose that would trigger some additional design work to accommodate removing of the deck. I don't know if at this point we've gotten the answer on how much time that would take. So we're trying to get that answer. So there is some additional design work. We don't think it's going to be like this, you know, a 6-month approach. But I just want to, you know, add that because I think you alluded to that. Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. So
I wanted to add that too.
Ultimately, you know, it's a similar sort of matrix, right? I mean, we have a lane that's closed. It's been closed for quite a while. This was a very abrupt thing that occurred. FDOT came in and was looking, try to determine ownership and identified the bridge having issues, and we had to, you know, abruptly close the lane, right? And otherwise, we'd be in a design and permitting mode and have the bridge, you know, operable. So any further time, you know, is impacting that, right? And I know there's some frustration, you know, in the community with the one lane closed, and people want to see that fixed. So back to the conversation about, you know, what is the ROI on slowing it down and taking care of some other things? That would be a concern. So we owe you information because we're trying to find out how long it would take to do this design as proposed now with a $3.3 million. And then we'll have a full picture to come back to you on that matter.
Okay, but just to clarify, the $4.8 million that are shown for all three projects is assuming that we can deliver the bridge at the $3.3 million cost figure?
Yeah, and the only one that has that I would say is a hard number out of the three is that one because the contractor gave us that and said, I'm willing to do the bridge for 3.3 with removing the deck. The other two are design estimates. So until we go to bid, we really don't know what those are. So it's kind of interesting that that's the one that we have the most assurances because the contractor.
Okay, but it's not permitted at this point.
No.
Significant permitting. Yeah. Sorry. The significant permitting would be DERM. Right? Does it affect anything in terms of the flow, the water, the banks? As far as permitting,
But we're talking about the superstructure. We're not talking about the support structure, which is in the water.
Correct. The permitting is actually through the city.
Okay.
But the structure.
Okay, but in terms of from a design perspective, what we're talking about in terms of revisions to the permitting is, I'm assuming, whatever demolition has to occur to remove the roadway platform. Right, relocate it temporarily, and then reattach it, the method for reattaching it to the upgraded support structure. Is that correct?
Right.
Yes.
It's a good question. The $3.3 million.
Say your name for the record.
Oh, sorry. Jose Santiago, EXP, U.S. Services, providing in-house support for public works. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
So right now, the current proposal, which is being referenced right now, which is $3.3 million, includes the substructure, which is what you're talking about, remaining as is. It's not going to change. So that means that the permitting condition will not change. That means we don't have to go back to DERM. The 3.3 also includes the top deck, which is going to be retrofitted. The contractor has offered to change that. And they're willing to do that at $3.3 million. It'll be a lot less than if we do the full rehab as is currently planned, which is going to be about $4.6 million. The reason it's so much...
The difference between the retrofitting and the rehab is what on that element of the bridge?
The difference is the top deck. The current most expensive option right now leaves the current deck in place. We're getting a less expensive bridge with a new deck and the same underdeck. Same substructure, but a new top deck.
I think time and labor, right? The working around a deck that's in place, and correct me if I'm wrong, working around a deck that's in place is more laborious to them, and there's a value to that versus having it clear.
In terms of the structural deficit in the bridge, the structural deficit is in the substructure, not in the...
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so they're going to provide us a new roadbed
They're going to provide us
under this revised $3.3 million option.
Right. The $3.3 million will keep the same.
The substructure elements will remain the same as proposed.
As proposed with the micropiling, which will strengthen the bridge.
Okay.
And then have the top deck retrofitted.
Retrofitted meaning replaced.
Replaced the entire.
They'll remove the whole thing and then they'll lay down a new deck.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yep.
Commissioner Rodriguez, you had a question.
Not questions, just a few comments. Just to expand on what the manager was saying, so a few things we need to take into consideration. One, this repair with the new deck, now it adds a life of 20 years. Am I correct?
It's gonna add a life of, I think it's a 30 year.
30 years, which is even better.
Yeah.
So that's number one. Number two, with the permitting, if we go to a new bridge, we would obviously have to start over from scratch.
That is correct.
With removal of the deck and just continuing, yes, we do have to do a revision, but we could start with demolition. We could start with all the work while that revision is going through its process, so we're not losing time. And these neighbors are, in speaking to a few of them that are friends that live there, I mean, they're pretty over this bridge
Rodriguez
already.
Refers to a common technique called design build.
Correct.
So we could entertain that. We're actually trying to entertain that option right now for the $3.3 million option with the micropiling and the new deck. As we await the new design, we may actually start the demolition. We may actually start clearing and grubbing and do all the activities that we can do while we wait for the design to be completed. So, but like the manager mentioned earlier, we're still getting the details on that. So we are entertaining that idea. Yes, we could also do a design build on a new bridge, but the problem is that the permitting process with DERM is very lengthy.
Correct.
And we're looking at a substantial delay to the project.
I mean,
add to that, my job mm-hmm. is to think about the future, not mm-hmm. the today, right? So if we have the opportunity to get a brand new bridge that is metal in nature, that it's beautiful, that we can start incorporating lifestyles of paddleboarding and using the lakes that we currently have, I'm okay looking into that. That's my opinion. That's why I want to see that. I think we can create a bridge. Maybe it's not asphalt in structure, or it's not all concrete, that we can do metals or some type of different structures that'll be a lot more aesthetically pleasing. We should look into that. That was all that I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I think the question I have is, can we create the functionality with the current plan that he's trying to optimize?
We're looking at that.
Okay. I think that's, you know, I would err on the side of restoring service. You know, I don't disagree with that. That's exactly our job, and I'm glad you raised the point. But I think, you know, it's an inconvenience, and I'd like to at least restore the service as soon as possible, personally. But I would not like to foreclose the opportunity to consider if there's a modification that's required to the substructure to allow for people to pass and use that recreationally. I think it's something that's certainly worth spending the time to explore.
What I can tell you is that the deck elevation right now, as far as the, you know, the recreational use, will remain the same. If we stay with the current configuration, you know, it'll stay the same. If we build a new bridge, it may change. We would have to do the studies and find out what the correct elevation would be against the water line, you know, and then obviously the other caveat that we should also think about a new bridge is that DERM will require us to design it to sea level rise for 2060 or whatever their projected, you know, elevations are. So that could actually affect the clearances substantially on the bridge. It could affect the entire design.
Well, it could also require additional right-of-way acquisition, I would imagine.
That is correct.
To get to the required clearances.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Colleagues, we're not talking about the design. Maybe we should add this item onto the next agenda as a workshop item, just so we can kick this around as opposed to dominating our budget conversation. But point is, do we have any
majority of our budget, though, Mayor? Like, it's important, right?
I agree, but I think there are a lot of non-finance related issues here that we need to explore and worth exploring. I just don't know this is the right meeting for that right now. No, it's not. No, it's perfectly fine raising. Yes, sir.
And I would like to add, I agree with the commissioner. If we weren't in the situation that we're in right now, I wouldn't mind doing a new bridge, but that's not real life. Real life is right now we have a bridge that's one lane that the residents are very frustrated with. So, and I agree with him looking out to the future, but it is kind of going out to the future because it's 30-year life. Mm-hmm. So it's not 10-year. If it were 10-year like we originally talked about, then I'd be more open, because I even said a new bridge from the beginning when it was supposed to be a 10-year life.
Yeah.
But now we're looking at a 30-year life. That changes it also.
So the 30-year life is based on the current designs that are being floated.
Correct.
We'll have the exact number for you once we have a final proposal. Okay. But think about this. If the original concept, which was the most expensive concept, was only retrofitting and then leaving the top deck, yes, you're going to get 10 years. But now you're retrofitting the bottom, and now you're getting a new top deck, a new pre-stressed deck. It's obviously going to increase the life substantially.
Again, let's table this conversation for now and bring it back as an item for discussion at a future meeting. Do we, with respect to the budget and financing of the improvements, do we want to give the manager some alternate direction beyond what they presented, so we can bring it back on second reading? Okay. Meaning, do we want to the manager has proposed to finance these three projects, and they've substituted dollars to allow us to advance other projects. Commissioner Kaye was suggesting potentially that we not debt finance this and defer some other projects. Is there a desire on the part of any other board member to consider that option? Yes, ma'am, you're recognized.
I think it's at least worth a look to say, hey, having the conversation we just had, how realistic is it that that's gonna all happen in this next year? Because I don't wanna borrow money to then have it sit there, which is what I think Commissioner Kaye was alluding to. And I must say,
we can't
at the other end of the day.
Yeah, we can't. I mean, we can't afford to make debt service payments on this money until October 1 of 27. So whatever financing we structure, yes, we do not want the meter running, the interest meter running, unless we're actually spending dollars on the improvements. But
then why would we do the debt financing in 26?
Because I think you're hearing that they're anticipating that they'll be able to be in the ground with the improvements this year, and they're going to need resources to do that. So, well, the debt service payments will not begin until fiscal year 26. The 27, the borrowing would take place this year, so the dollars are available to start summit-related work.
Would we have a chance to have one more conversation about this?
I'm asking, do we want to see for second reading of this budget, a suggestion from the manager as to what projects we would defer? I think we all agree, I would agree, that these improvements need to happen first.
I agree.
Right? There are life safety and structural issues. We're talking about preserving and restoring levels of service. I certainly think we can do all of this. When I say all of it, I mean Dante Fussell and the South Miami parking lot improvements next fiscal year. But if we want to have a conversation that has no discussion about taking out any debt until we're ready to go for a full GO bond, then I just want to ask you all, do you want to see a proposal from the manager at our next hearing with that as an alternative? I think I have a yes from you, assuming a yes from Commissioner Kaye. Anybody else? Vice Mayor?
I just want to say I definitely appreciate the creativity in keeping us obviously out of debt service. Nobody wants to be in debt service. I was curious, though, in the scenarios we've discussed, not building the building at Dante Fussell, obviously those funds would become available, and we likely wouldn't borrow as much from here. So strategically, we would still, this would just give us options to borrow if we needed to borrow, but we could potentially get money from other places where we didn't execute or decided
That's exactly what I'm asking. If we want the manager to bring forward a series of recommendations of deferring $4.8 or $4.9 million of projects. Do we want to have that conversation again on second reading, or do you want to make the decision to go forward as they're suggesting?
I'm comfortable with this because I think it gives us flexibility.
Okay.
I had the same question as Commissioner Bonich when we met, and I believe that your answer was that this money, we currently have the money to proceed with these projects, and this debt service would be more of a reimbursement tool, correct?
So we have a reimbursement resolution, which gives us the flexibility. You're going to have to vote. If your debt is going to be issued, it has to come before you. This does not in any which way bind the city to issuing debt. It just gives us the appropriation. You'll see my last slide. It shows all the what you're adopting is funds, appropriation amounts, which gives us a capacity to actually spend up to that amount. There's multiple ways that I would recommend that we do this. If we have idle cash, 3.8 hasn't been, we use that. We can come back later in a year or two and finance it. And that's what the reimbursement resolution that was adopted about 2 months ago, it gives us. It gives us a lot of that flexibility.
Okay, but how would we pay for the, so let's assume we have a permit in hand in 60 days and we're ready to start building the bridge. We're going to take the $3.3 million out of some other reserve account?
Correct. We would. What I would recommend so that we don't hold up the project is we spend that money while I procure the debt. If we do decide to go that debt, it could be a line of credit. There's
many avenues.
100%. Yeah. Okay.
But at the end of the day, if we do not procure the debt, we're taking cash out of our fund balance.
That's correct. You would know that because even the if you're going to be hiring a contractor to do the bridge, it has to come before you, and it has to come.
I understand that we have to procure it, and but in terms of again, if we do not go to market, we're taking it out of our pocket.
100%.
That's my point. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that would all be discussed at that moment where you're hiring the contractor. Where's the funding? What's the anticipated plan on funding? Okay. Today is just giving fund capacity to do these projects.
Okay, so two to see an alternate proposal. Commissioner, do you want to see a compare and contrast of options at the next hearing or not on this item, CIP? Or are you fine with what's presented?
I'm good with what's presented.
So I am as well. So let's go ahead and just proceed as presented, okay? Sorry, continue. We hijacked your presentation.
No, this is good. I appreciate it. It wasn't about parking, so I'm even happier. So. Mm-hmm.
we'll get there later.
Yeah. So this is a CIP. We put in here. These are the highlights. So just to break down what the CIP fund, what we're anticipating for or what we're appropriating to do projects, this is a list of all the projects that are anticipated to be used through our CIP fund, which it covers the majority of the projects. And this is just an itemized list of all of them, from the parking garage, as I mentioned, to Sunset Drive being the placemaking. We have monies in there available for usage, either if it's for placemaking or for some construction or design engineering. That's really the highlight of this. 3.8, you see the Dante Facel, we moved it into the CIP fund to be funded from here. With that,
I apologize. If you could go back to the other one, I think one of the things that we should look at, I asked this question when we met, the Fuchs Parks renovation of the volleyball facility at $45,000. If there's an opportunity that it's going to go away, we should really think about spending the money before we just make it go away right after repairing it.
Yeah, we wouldn't be doing that. We certainly, based on what the ultimate decision is, if there's going to be another amenity at Fuchs, we wouldn't be making an investment and making without knowing what the outcome of that is.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
So with that, a log of general fund operating budget changes that have occurred. When we first came on the workshop on July 29th, you'll see we increased the revenue of parking, which encompasses the increase from $3 to $3.25, and this is excluding library. Library we're maintaining at $1.50. It's the only zone in our parking infrastructure which has a different rate, and that is the parking for the library. $185 reserve, that is shared revenue. We increased it just to make sure we have capacity. We just received, every year we get $185 revenue for the police officer's share plan. Other than that, these are just some changes that we made throughout.
Alfredo, can I ask, does that help you when you do that?
Yeah, it doesn't help us. Oh, it doesn't. No. It helps me, yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, as long as it's helping you, it's
because
fine.
Because I can't see anything from here.
Exactly. Okay.
So if you have any questions?
Yes, ma'am, you're recognized.
Okay, I actually have two things to talk about. One is the rec leader that we're seeing there that we removed. I think that we should consider looking at the fees that we charge across the board in Parks and Rec and see if we can find that money, raise a fee, $3, $2, whatever, to find this money, because saying that we're going to continue to play whack-a-mole with our employees, it seems counterintuitive to me to say, I know you're supposed to be here, but go there, do this, do that. You're never giving somebody full responsibility for something, and that lends itself to everything falling between the cracks, because if you can't hold a person responsible, then it's nobody's fault when something goes wrong. That's one thing, and I don't feel like Parks and Rec, at least not in my time here, have I felt that they're like, oh, I want this, when it's not something that they actually need. So I think that we should at least run through that exercise and see if we can find a way to make it work. Number two, and I know you guys are going to want to kill me for this one, we have money set aside for holiday lights, and I think that we should see if we can move monies into there so that we can do something more significant. And the reason that I say this is because if you look, sorry, I knocked it off. If you look at other cities, and I use the Gables because they're like a perfect example, because I think every single one of us probably went there and have taken our kids there to that little Christmas park to see Santa Claus. We made what in the grand scheme of things was a small adjustment when it came to Christmas. And we saw, unfortunately we didn't capitalize enough on it, but we saw a bunch of people coming through our downtown, taking pictures, hanging out, doing all kinds of things. And I'm like, if we could dedicate more funds to that so that we could have something more significant, I feel people will start to come, even if it's just to see it. And if they're here, they might eat something, and they're going to park their car. And so when we look at how can we help that area sooner versus later, look at Halloween. Halloween is buck wild. I mean, it's tons and tons and tons of people. And I get that that's one day. But if we could even push something so that people think of us throughout that whole holiday period, I think it's worth it. I don't know where the money will come from. That's why I say you're going to want to kill me. But, you know, we can get more tickets, Alfredo.
The commissioner wants to spend money. Well,
I knew you were going to say something. I knew somebody was going to say something.
Just on the rec leader position, I know there were two proposed before, Mr. Manager. Was that my understanding is that our goal is to, I guess the director wanted to phase that person in fiscal year 27. Could you explain the rationale for the change in the request?
The priority didn't change. It's just the competing priorities is what we're trying to balance. And certainly the approach originally was to have a dedicated presence at Palmer and South Miami Park. So that priority hasn't changed. It's just trying to balance. So yes, if your point was, you know, would this come back at FY27? The answer was yes. If I found a way to balance everything and still have this here, I would have left it. But in fact, some new numbers came in, healthcare came in, and some other things that came in that increase our recurring expenses. So that's why we made that decision. But the need and priority didn't change necessarily.
Okay. Yes, you recognize, sir.
And so I would like to say I agree with Commissioner Bonich on both. So I think it's our two biggest parks, and we definitely need some, especially South Miami Park, because on a daily basis we have hundreds of kids there. And then once baseball and football, I mean, our two biggest parks really do need somebody to attend to it. So I agree, if there's any way that we can raise a fee here or there, you know, where it's minimally felt, I think we should do that. And I agree with the Christmas decorations. If we just brighten up our city, you know, people will, you know, if you build it, they will come.
Okay. Further comments? Yes, sir.
Well, look, we were speaking about the, I don't know if you guys saw that, the $200,000 for SOMI district placemaking. That's a recurring revenue, I mean, operating expense that wasn't there before. And this is now recurring that we're going to be adding into the operating budget.
I don't think that's intended to be recurring. I believe that's basically to help make up for the contractual difference. Is that the contractual differential number, sir?
So that came from the quarter revenue if parking were to go up by a quarter. Part of the connection there is that it's, you know, helping support placemaking, finishing design. Once we're done with design, you know, we could technically, you know, say that this could also support any debt service that would happen in the future, depending on that project, right? We've heard estimates of upwards of $11 million. So it is in the general fund budget as recurring, but it could be repurposed once we take care of the design and could help offset construction debt service.
So I believe the manager's intent there is, Commissioner Kaye, is to kind of tie the rate increase to reinvestment in the district.
Right, but going back to placemaking, it gives the opportunity for lights and...
It does, awesome. Yes. I think that's exactly where that money could come from, yeah. Probably not this year because of the contractual services differential we've got to make up, correct?
We may still be able to cover that based on where we end up, and obviously we're working through that given the money that we set aside in CIP over a two-year period. So that may still cover it, but we're fine-tuning that to bring it back and have that discussion.
Okay.
Which in that case, we would not tap this, but it could be an overflow, and we would tap it if we need more.
Further questions or comments? No. Yes, ma'am.
So I'm here and there's a chance.
Yes.
For holiday lights.
For more lights?
For lights.
Yes.
Good. That makes me really happy. You guys, it could be so awesome. Like, I envision, like, what you see in Europe. We're not going to build there year one, but we can get there.
We'll wrap them around your Corvette and you can drive around.
There you go. Only I'm not allowed to drive that car, so maybe, you know, the bike.
Just careful throwing candy canes from your car. I just have two quick comments, not that they need to be addressed this evening. One is with respect to our transportation services contract with VIA, just obviously staying attuned to what's happening at the county, and depending on what happens over the next week, figuring out a way that we want to repurpose that money. My initial thought is if the county is going to pull back on its transit service, then I would probably just prefer to see that money invested in repaving streets and sidewalks across the city and accelerating those capital improvements, since we're not going to be able to leverage, I think, the service with the dollars we have in any way that's particularly meaningful. And secondly, I just, on the rate increase for parking, I'll support the rate increase, but I would like to see us, thank you to Mr. Riverall for sharing with me our enforcement versus collections numbers. And I think that we probably would be well served to kind of balance out enforcement on Sundays through Thursdays by reducing enforcement or limiting enforcement to 9 p.m. as opposed to 10, because there is an inversion there in terms of enforcement revenue versus actual parking collections. So that would be my only wish. That doesn't have to be done as part of the budget, but that would be my request to the administration, is to consider a further modification to enforcement to limit it Sundays through Thursdays to 9 p.m. from 10 currently. Yes, ma'am.
There's something that I learned today, which I thought was pretty cool. I don't know if you were able to do anything with it or not, but since the resident program was started, there have been like 500 people that have taken advantage of that. So when we think about this, like, increase in enforcement, you know, like, when we look at the entire thing and we look at, you know, income versus expenses, like we saw with the parking garage, I think it's interesting to see that our residents are actually taking advantage of that. So yes, it is an increase somewhere. Yeah, no, good job. Yes, we see an increase here or there in whatever form it takes, but we're also seeing more community involvement, buy-in, knowledge with it.
So on that item, what we're proposing is we're going to have a memo and a resolution changing the fee for September 16th, which is the next regular meeting. All of that information that you requested and talking about the residential program, all of those things will be embedded into that memo. It'll provide a good, clear understanding of where we are as a program overall.
Okay, great.
So
recognize, sir, go ahead.
Reducing the times for enforcement times from 10 o'clock to 9 o'clock, will that mess up the schedule the way that we have it currently? The reason I'm asking, Mayor, is because I think the problem that we have, well, for lack of a better word, the perception that we have that we're getting taxed or that that we're getting a lot more enforcement dollars after 9 o'clock is because we have two people at that time going through there. So the ability to get by or get away with not paying your parking ticket is pretty high, right? Like you're gonna get a ticket. Is there, and I know Coral Gables and some other cities in Doral, they don't have that constant rotation of people looking for that. So maybe not necessarily change the ability to 1 hour. I personally don't think it's gonna make a big difference, but the ability to have so much focus on enforcement at those times. Maybe.
Yeah, I think part of it is we got three people staffing 340 on-street spaces. So it's pretty high enforcement to space ratio, I would say. But, you know, I think Mr. Riverall has highlighted to me, and even our conversation today, that in terms of keeping qualified enforcement personnel, he's got to offer them a certain amount of hours. So my proposal in terms of reducing the enforcement hours is not going to save us any fixed cost. It's just an acknowledgement that it's not a time where there's heavy utilization. And I would frankly rather pay that person to be out there and just be an ambassador to monitor all the other stuff, you know, that happens later in an evening and help people get around the district. It's not necessarily that they're going to go away. It's just that we'll just make the decision from a policy perspective at 9 p.m. We'd stop enforcement on those dates. They'd still be on the ground because, again, we want to keep, you know, qualified or certified enforcement officers, you know, as part of the operation. So, yes, sir.
I am afraid that's Commissioner Kaya has a good idea. Maybe, obviously, we have a contract already executed, but in the future contracts, maybe like Sundays or Mondays or Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, like the slowest days, reducing the amount of people that we have out there of court enforcers. You know, that'll save the city money, and also it'll make it, you know, a little less.
So I mean, we can terminate that contract for convenience whenever we want. We've had this conversation before. I think I'm afraid I want to speak for you, but I think part of the issue is to kind of just staff for the hours that we need. We need to offer people X amount of hours of work, or else it's not an attractive opportunity for them. We talked about reducing the enforcement staff from 3 to 2, and that's where Mr. Riverall highlighted the issue. This probably predates your tenure on the dais. So I don't know if you want to elaborate on that point.
We invest a lot in these officers. They're all certified, which means they have to go for a weekend, two days, for I think it's 8 hours each day, pass an exam. Keeping them as it is very difficult. The less hours, I only have 2 full-times and 2 part-time, and I have enough just to cover all the hours. We do have some overlapping, 100%, and we can work on, we're issuing more warnings. I mean, we're trying different things, but staffing is critical for me, okay. Especially if I have a loss. I had a loss in June, and I can see a major drop-off. And it also puts a lot of stress on the others because I still got to make up those hours, so they have to pay overtime. And it's not the overtime. They don't want to work. You know, they want to go home, and they're required to stay. It's, you know, so staffing is an issue. It's not just parking, by the way. That's just overall any department. But maintaining that level that I have, again, not enforcing on expired meter, if that's the will, but keeping my hours would be very helpful. That's something that we've developed over 15 years and that it's worked, you know. It's the one that shows the less problematic for me.
Yes, Ben, Commissioner.
I would ask if we can, like, lay off of this issue for, like, 5 minutes. I mean, we've made so many changes in such a short amount of time that I don't know that we're actually even giving ourselves time to catch up to the reality of where we are. We've gotten so used to having the mentality that, you know, our parking enforcement, it's almost becoming like we're in a vacuum almost. People are always gonna say they don't wanna pay a ticket. Well, if you don't wanna pay a ticket, pay the meter. And I think we need to take it like our foot off the gas for a minute and let this just work before we say it's not working.
I'm not saying it's not working.
I'm saying, like, let's just leave it.
Look, it's the anniversary, so we talk about this stuff, right? We made an adjustment last year. I've just asked him for some updated numbers. I hadn't seen him in a while. It's the only area I see some discrepancy between revenues and enforcement. If we can make an adjustment, great, particularly since we're going to increase the rate. I think we'll probably be net positive on revenue, period. So I don't think we'll have a bottom line impact. Again, it's just my suggestion. If the rest of you want to leave the status quo the same, that's fine. We don't have to deal with it today.
No. And that's just my comment. Saying,
yeah.
What I'm saying is
there'll be a resolution.
It's been less than a year since.
There'll be a resolution on the 16th, as Mr. Rivall said, addressing that issue. I was just highlighting my two comments on the budget generally, which is about VIA and enforcement, so we could deal with it at a future point in time. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and we're preparing, we're gathering the data since we made the change on the enforcement, so you can see how the activity has changed. So we're trying to get 60 days worth instead of just 30, and we'll be sharing that info prior to the 16th, probably. We'll have the info.
I'm ready to send it today.
Good. So you'll be able to see what the effect is of the change in enforcement.
Thank you. Okay. Further comments, questions? Okay.
These are the appropriation. These are the funds. What you'll be adopting, one of the resolutions, aside from obviously the millage, is authorizing the city or management to spend up to those amounts on those funds.
Okay.
That's in essence.
Any questions on those appropriations? Okay. We do have to open this item up for public hearing. Can we discuss the millage now as well, very quickly, and then open up a public hearing for both items? Okay. So, Mr. Riverall, why don't you make your... Well, we have our statements on the millage rate, so we can make those announcements. And then I'll open up the floor for the public hearing.
City Attorney, we want to make that statement. We talked about it earlier. She sounds much better.
Good evening. So the proposed millage rate tonight is 3.9500 for fiscal year 25-26, and that is 8.25%. increase over the rollback rate, which is 3.6490 mils. We just need to publicly announce that.
Okay, great. With that, we'll open up the floor for a public hearing. Any individual who'd like to speak on either item one or two regarding the adoption of the budget or the setting of the millage rate on first reading is welcome to come forward at this time. Is there anyone in the audience who'd like to address this commission in public remarks? Okay, seeing no one in the chamber, Madam Clerk, is there anyone online?
No.
Okay, seeing no one online, we will close the public hearing on both items. Is there a motion on item one?
I move to...
adopt the budget as presented?
Yes, sir.
Is there a second?
I'm sorry, Mayor, it's the millage resolution first.
Millage first, my apologies. So let's take up item two.
I move the motion to...
We have a motion on item two to adopt the millage at 3.95.
Yes. Second.
And this is second by the Vice Mayor. So a motion by Commissioner Rodriguez, a second by Vice Mayor Corey. Madam Clerk, if you can call the motion on item two, please.
The millage is item one.
It's item one?
Yes.
God, I can't read today. Sorry, item one then.
Yes.
Thank you, yeah.
Commissioner Boniche?
Yes.
Commissioner Rodriguez?
Yes.
Commissioner Calle?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Corey?
Yes.
Mayor Fernandez?
On item one, yes. Okay, is there a motion to adopt the budget as presented?
I move the item.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
We have a motion by Vice Mayor Corey and a second by Commissioner Rodriguez.
This is first reading, right?
This is first reading. And again, I guess the managers will take all our comments under advisement and present, you know, the requested changes. So with that, any further discussion? Are we ready to vote? We are. Madam Clerk, if you can call the roll, please.
Yes, Commissioner Boniche.
Why am I always first now? Yes.
Commissioner Rodriguez.
Yes.
Commissioner Calle.
Yes.
Vice Mayor Corey.
Yes.
Mayor Fernandez.
Yes.
Item passes 5-0.
Great. Seeing no further business before us at this time, we'll stand in recess. Thank you. Adjourned.
Ladies first. Yes.